Excuse me. I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation meeting on Thursday, 15th of November. On the call today, we have Wolf-Ulrich Knobben, Angie Graves, Anne Aikman, Scalise. We have apologies from Avery Doria, Julie Headland, J. Scott Evans, and James Bladell. And from staff, we have Marika Konix and myself, Julia Chavolin. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Julia. So it's Wolf-Ulrich Knobben speaking. So we have on the agenda today, a statement of interests. Is there anything to disclose from the participants? I see none. Then we have on the agenda the following topics. We have the chair and vice chair election, where we would like to talk about the procedure of the election first. And then we have the deferral of motions, several times discussed, and views exchanged on the list. And another point is update on public comments on the changes to the PDP manual for the suspension of a PDP, just an update. And another point where we should come to a decision is raising an issue where we have put some options to the table, and we have also some opinions on that. And last but not least, the status update on working group survey and how can we go forward with the working group survey. So I see Mary Wong on Adobe as well. And hi, Mary, are you on the line?
Yes, hi, Wolf. Hi, everybody.
Why, great, Mary. I'm happy to have you here, and now we have a big gender imbalance, I would say, here in this meeting. Also, we have lack of participation, so I'm the only male one, and the others, I'm happy that I'm surrounded by so many female colleagues. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we have, we are at least four, so we can talk about these things. If you have some ideas which you put together, then let's do it for the next time and send it out then to the list so that the others can be informed about. If there is no objection, I would like to step into the first of our items, procedural things, questions with regards to chair and vice chair election. So you remember we had, we pointed out, Avi and myself in Toronto, that it's now time to think about and to re-elect or to elect chair and vice chair of this standing committee. I put a suggestion on the list. It was okay. About talking about the procedure, and then nominate candidates from the membership of the SCI, and then the question is how we can go to elect candidates for that. The last time it was done this way, that we people have been nominated or self-nominated themselves. That is also an option. And then if we have two positions, it's chair and vice chair, and if there is more than one nominee per position, then we should held at least a balloting. Anyway, we have to talk about any candidate afterwards and find a conclusion on that. So that would be a very brief and uncomplicated procedure. And I wonder whether this is, there are other ideas from your side, how we could put forward this. And then my question would be to you as well, did you have from your position, from your stakeholder group, any thoughts about that already? Are there ideas? Are there names? Well, just open the floor. Mary, please.
Thanks, Wolf. And, you know, we're NCUC and NCSG, and I think NCOC too. We're fine with the procedure that you put forward. And I spoke with Audrey this morning, and if it's time to nominate anybody, I'd like to nominate her as the incoming chair, since, you know, you said that you actually wanted to step down. And so if you're not continuing, Wolf, I think Audrey would be a good candidate because of her long experience in the GNSO.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good afternoon, all. This is Ron Andruff calling, speaking. I beg your pardon. I've arrived late into my hotel, and I've just logged on, and I just wanted to check in and just let you know that I'm on the line, and I apologize for being late. I understand you're talking about the chair position.
Hi, Ron. Nice to hear you. And sure, well, I hope that you can hear us very well. We just started, so we have four persons. We are, at the time, four persons from the SCI. It's Anne, it's Angie, it's Mary, it's myself, and I'm happy that another male joined us. So, and we have Julia and Marika from staff as well. So we just started about the procedural questions of chair and vice chair election. And I was asking to the colleagues whether they have already had discussions within their respective groups, and whether there are names or there are procedural questions or whatever. So, and right now I see Anne raise your hand, please, Anne.
Yes. Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Anne Aikman-Scalise from the IPC. When Mary mentioned if you are not continuing, that raised a question in my mind, because I kind of feel as though, you know, we've more or less just gotten started, and maybe it's just that a year has gone by very quickly. But have you, Wolf Ulrich, indicated intention not to stand for chair?
Well, you know, it's almost 2 years.
Is it really? Oh.
Yes, it is. Sure.
Sorry.
So when we started, you know, it started a little bit not in that sense that we had regular meetings from the beginning, but it started relatively early, and so I would say it's an interesting job, really. Well, and I do it. I like to do it, and I liked to do it. But openly speaking, you know, I'm here. A fan of the ICANN model in these things, the working group model, that mm-hmm. We will have changes. We have changes on council, regular changes, so we should have also, since this standing committee is a standing committee, it's not a working group, you know, mm-hmm. in this time, so there should be changes, I think.
And who's the current vice chair, if I may? I don't even know the answer to that, I'm sorry.
It's Avery.
Oh, it's Avery. Oh, okay.
At the time being.
Thank you for clarifying.
Okay, so, and did you have had any discussion within the IPC or?
No, there's actually not been any discussion at this point. What exactly is our timing? I'm sorry.
No, there is no timing. So the charter is very easy, you know, in that point. So it's there is no timing that. So it's up to us, well.
Oh, okay. Well, I think this is something, you know, from IPC standpoint that we need to bring to the attention of our membership, that there's a change afoot in relation to chair, and to get some input from them, because neither J. Scott nor I has, you know, had an opportunity to put that in front of IPC.
Yes. Okay. Great. Thank you. Ron is next, yeah? Please.
Thank you, Chair. In fact, I've had a conversation internally within the BC with the chair of the BC and a couple of others, and I would, through their encouragement, be happy to throw my hat into the ring as well for taking the chair role of the SCI for the next period. So I just wanted to make mention of that on this call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ron. So, so we have at least two candidates for the chair position. It's good. As many as candidates we have. I think if there any other comment on that first from Angie or so. No, I don't hear anything. So we we didn't have, as an ISPCP member, a big discussion on that because we have, okay, myself here and Tony is my alternate. He was also asking me why I shouldn't continue. Well, I told him the same thing, so he agrees to that. So it's just a question. So on that. So what we should do right now do you still raise your fingers?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did want to ask a question though, which is, who's not represented on the call? Is it?
Who is not on the call?
Yeah, not-for-profits. Which stakeholders or constituencies have no representative on the call? That's my...
Well, it's the registrars and the registries are not on the call. And from the constituencies, I would say it's... Well, it is. No, it's IPC, ISPCP, BC. We have... All from the, and we have Mary representing the NCSG and the NCUC. So we do not have a one from the NPOC.
Right. Okay.
So that's,
and the nominating committee appointees are.
Oh yeah, sure. Because well, it's not. Yeah, that was just decided. Just to keep you informed that Jennifer Wolf shall join as the primary member and. Thomas Rickert, her alternate, will be here to the SCI.
Now, is it possible to, when we send out, for example, the minutes, state Suzanne speaking again, I'm sorry, from IPC, would it be possible for us to send out in the minutes that Avery is nominated by Mary and that Ron is self-nominated and ask any others who are interested to express an interest or nomination and then to address it again in the next call?
Yes, that's a very good answer. So that's what I would like to suggest. Well, let's do that way. I think if we do not have further questions regarding the procedure itself, then I would say that's it for the moment. But we have two candidates, so we put it on the list and we ask the others their opinion. Huh?
Yeah.
Marika, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to clarify, if you'll be looking for a chair and vice chair again for the upcoming term, so we can clarify that as well in the minutes that go out, that it's not just the chair position, but that you're looking for the two posts, right?
Yes, that's correct. Marika, yes. The question is, you mentioned, well, for the next term, as a term is not fixed by the charter, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, okay, let's call it the next term, yes. Okay, so though that's clear, so for chair and vice chair, do we have names for the vice chair position? I see Ron. Ron, please. Ron, can you hear me?
Beg your pardon, I just had to get off mute. Thank you, Chair. Just regarding the term, we've kind of set a precedent now with you and Avery as the Vice Chair doing a two-year stint, and I wonder if we might consider just trying to set some kind of a policy going forward. Obviously, we'll need a much larger, many more members and all the members to determine this, but perhaps we could be looking at a one-year term with a one-year renewal and then rotate out. Because as you said, sometimes we're not doing very much work, so in the course of a year, we may be doing very little. Alternatively, we may be doing a lot. But with one-year term and a second year as a full term, in other words, after 2 years that the chair would step down, I think that makes a lot of sense. And what you've said is quite right, is that you've enjoyed it, but in the spirit of a bottom-up consensus-building organization, it's a good idea to rotate this. And I think 2 years is plenty. 1 year, maybe not quite enough in terms of providing continuity. So I like the idea, and I just wanted to go on record to suggest that might be a good way forward. Thank you.
Can we put that to the notes as well? So that means that is an option, well, to say, okay, a term as we see it, or as a suggestion for a term, which means a two-year term, since, as Ron explained, 1 year may be too short in that respect, and but a two-year, it should be limited to a two-year. Just put it as a suggestion to the notes, and we can ask next time also when we have this discussion, well, to the round, whether that is satisfying their needs as well, and then we have this option. Okay. Ron, again.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to comment on the fact, on the notes that Marika is putting in. I just a point of clarification for Marika. The note says consider a term, for example, two-year term. What I was suggesting was a one-year term with a one-year extension and not more than 2 years. So a one-year term and then rotate through. And if the chair would like to stay for another second year, he can. But then at the end of 2 years, irrespective of whether he wants to or not, he or she, they should step down. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, so thanks, Marika.
And also, Marika, please put to the note that Ron's name as well.
He's already there. You mean the self-nomination? That's already in the note.
Okay, thank you. Sure. I have to go down here. Oh, yeah, thanks. good. So, next point. Deferral of motions. We have had at the end the text of Jay Scott suggestion with a small amendment. And I was we were putting that to the list as well, asking if there is any objection. I got some responses. All of the responses I got, there was Avery today, and there were others as well. They were in favor of that, of the text. I would like to ask here to the round, is there any more question about that, of understanding, or how we shall proceed of that? With that, please raise your hand. Mary, please.
Thanks, Wolf. This is just to say I didn't respond on the list because I actually had no objection. So just to clarify, I have no objection and I support the language as it is now.
Okay, thank you very much. I think following that, if I can summarize, so is that we have found a conclusion on that. We can conclude that this text is the one which we are going to suggest and to send to the council. I just wonder how we are now going in a procedural way with that text. this text is an explanation which says we are not proposing any amendment or any modification of the existing council rules of procedures, rather than we would like to clarify that there is what is our opinion on that, so that we are thinking, okay, that it's up to the chair that he can use or exercise his or her discretion in any way. It means in the affirmative or in the negative way in this respect. So I wonder, I'm just thinking about how I, as I'm going to report to the council, shall do this. Should I put it in just in a brief report that I should I send it in writing to the council and then put the question, okay, for the next council meeting on the agenda, is there any need that we have to get approval from the council to that? Or no, I don't think so. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit confused in that. We don't need any approval, but, you know, we just give it back to the council and say, okay, this is our opinion, and the council, it's now up to the council how to deal with that. So that's my opinion on that. But Ron, please.
Thank you, Chair. I am inclined to agree with what you just said, that our job was really to look at this because there was a hole in that part of the policy. We've now given consideration. We hand it back to the GNSO with this recommendation to go forward, and I would expect that they would be able to approve this just as a normal course of their activities. I don't think there's any discussion that needs to go on further on our side, and it certainly doesn't have to go back for public comment. So this is really a question of just handing it back to the council with the explanation that it was this open issue and now we've addressed it and this is our recommendation. Thank you.
Okay. Anne, please.
Yes, this is Anne Wolf-Horish, and thank you. I have a question regarding our own procedures, which is before we do send something like this back to the council, do we actually record any sort of formal vote on it or say who is present or not present? I mean, this appears to be this general consensus developing, but in terms of our own record keeping, in order to avoid confusion, do we actually have a voting process?
As to my knowledge, we do not have a voting on these things. So what we try to get is consensus. Yeah.
And do we have an expression of consensus from the registrar group and the registry group with respect to this item? I may not be completely up on all the emails. Have we had an expression from the groups not present on the phone?
No, I didn't hear that, but I did not hear any objection. So, you know, it was explicitly raised to the list that this is going to be, let me say, not voted on, but it's the last call, let me say, for that, and then if there's any opposition. So there was nothing on that. But I'm open. Well, to hear. Let's just hear Mary, please.
Okay. Thanks, Wolf. And I was going to say something similar. And also that I think this, you know, we've had this topic discussed several times, several rounds, several meetings. And I think at Toronto, it was agreed at the meeting that the language would be circulated. And that was the email that's now up on the screen. And I think we agreed then that anyone with objections should state the objection on the list. So since we don't have a formal voting procedure, I would think that at least in this instance, we've fulfilled all the necessary consulting criteria that we could.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Anne, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to write something together and take this text and forward it to the council with a copy to the SCI as well. And then if the council has something to ask or is going to deal with that for the next time or which one, well, I can stand for that. Yes, thank you very much. So that was this point. Then we have the next item is update on public comments on changes to the PDP manual. Julie was writing something, which means, to my knowledge, that, yes, please, I see. Marika can help me, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to confirm what Julie wrote, we opened the public comment forum relatively quickly after Toronto, and that's now open. The formal comment period has finished. I think we received one comment from the registry stakeholder group expressing their support for the proposed change, and now we're basically in the reply period phase, so we'll just let that run out, and if there are no further substantive questions, I guess I can move forward then to the GNSO Council for its approval.
Okay, thank you very much. That leads me to a question, Marika, with regards to the formal procedure. I understand the public comment procedure in that way. If there was not any comment, that would mean that we could immediately execute that, let me say, yeah?
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, I had a bit of a discussion actually with Judy over it, because if you look at the rules, it basically says that if there are any substantive comments, then you need to have a reply period. I guess you can argue here as well, you know, the registry comment just saying we support the recommendations. It doesn't suggest any changes or doesn't, you know, object to it. So from that perspective, you could argue, you know, there's no substantive comment, so we should close it. But at the same time, we looked at the period that it will be running for, and I think it's just quickly trying to pull it up. I think it's with the reply period, it will remain open till the 3rd of December, so that will still be sufficient time, provided that there are no further substantive comments, to get it to the GNSO Council for consideration at its next meeting. So from that perspective, we felt that there was no harm in actually letting it run its course, and then still have sufficient time to submit it to the GNSO Council for its next meeting, which I believe is, I think that, is it the 20th of December? That would still give time for the... Yeah, so that would still give sufficient time for the SCI to look at the comments that were submitted, and, you know, presuming that there were no changes of view, then to go ahead and submit that together with a motion to the GNSO Council for their meeting in December.
Okay. I also think that in this case we do not have any pressure, you know, that we can really take the full period of the public comments. So that is not a problem. I was just wondering in general. So if sometimes we have we are under pressure, yeah. So in this, and then it looks a little bit funny. So if just one comment is coming in and it's just in support, saying, okay, yes, I'm in support of that then it opens a new period, let me say, of time for waiting before action can be taken.
And this is Marika. I think that's indeed, it's a bit open to interpretation. I think the rules say if there are, you know, substantive comments, and I think in certain cases we've seen if there were only comments saying, hey, this is great, and you know, no opposition or no suggested changes, I think we have closed it at that stage. But as said, I think here we won't miss another council meeting by just leaving it open. So we said, let's just let it run and see what happens.
Okay, understand. One, please.
Yes, I thank you, Chair. I just wanted to comment on Marika's statement about substantive comment. This is a comment that is positive and supports the work of the SCI. So I don't view that as being substantive. Substantive in my world would be that somebody is, you know, pushing back on it, and there's substantial pushback that we need to reconsider. So I think this is done and dusted for all of what we've done, and I think we shouldn't waste any time getting it to council for the next possible meeting. If there were, you know, a handful of comments and half were positive and half were negative, you know, and just to use a term, then we would obviously have to do something. But at this stage, this has been well discussed within the SCI. I think it's time to move it along for my part. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anne, please.
Yes, Wolf-Ulrich, this is Anne. I'm sorry, I would have to disagree with respect to not leaving the comment period open, because I don't think it's really proper governance procedure for us to decide, well, this is or isn't substantive. It makes me uncomfortable that one would say, well, we're in a position, you know, maybe we all think, well, we know what this comment means and we've concluded it's not substantive, but I just think as a regular procedure, that's a very bad idea, because someone else, you know, particularly in the public eye, could see that differently and say, you know, why is this being determined on an ad hoc basis?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to putting, and so I actually applaud staff for, treating it as they did.
Okay, thank you. And one again to that, please.
Yes, I agree with your comment. We really want to make sure that we're doing everything in the appropriate manner, that we're not cutting corners. No question about that. But what I'm getting at is that if someone responds positively to what we've done and we're in the response period, what's our response? If it was, so that's where the substantive measure, that's how I measure substantive comment. If the comment is such that we get a positive response to what we've said, how do we respond to that except to say thank you? We can't, there's no counter argument to whatever filed comment was, and that's where I'm getting at. So I'm just trying to use a yardstick here that kind of makes sense. We put it out there. There was one comment. It was a positive comment, and now we're moving on. But believe me, for my part, I'm just as happy to let this go through the cycle. I'm just suggesting that let's not drag it out any longer than we need to. I think there's been a lot of discussion about it, and we've gotten positive feedback on it, so that was where I was coming from. Just a point of clarification. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Sometimes we have to follow these formal rules, I would say, also. Though, and for example, in case if it comes to the council, I would suggest expect it's put on the consent agenda or such kind of thing, so that that it's not a real big deal for the council to do so. And in this case, we have also we have time, so there is nothing under pressure. So let's do it as staff just suggested, and then it goes that way. Okay. Thank you very much. Now we have the next point which was still open and was put to the list, raising an issue. The question about who can do that and how is that done. So we had three options, and there was it was seen that the option number one, meaning keeping the status quo and not doing any amendments to what is written in the charter, is the one which would have kind of consensus here. I definitely got that from Avi today, as well as from Jay Scott on the list. I still would open that for opinions, for other comments to the participants here. Is there anything to say, Ron, please?
Just a note, Chair, that I agreed. Also, I supported
yes.
Option one. I believe Angie did it, Angie Graves as well. So I think we really are pretty well out of consensus on this one. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so seems to be the same. So now for me, the question, because I also would like to report that then to the council, Marika, did we have, I think we had a small text also for in this context, didn't we? So with outlining the three options and then saying, okay, then this is the option number one which we found consensus on. Do we have that text available or not? You know that?
This is Marika. I would need to look that up because I think it was in an email that I sent with the three options. But in this case, I'm not really sure whether it necessarily needs to go to the council because I think it was actually more of an internal SCI discussion because I don't think this was a formal request from the council or anything. I think it was more triggered by an email we got from an individual, and we started then, I think, debating internally what we were supposed to do with that, whether we should accept requests from individuals or not, or whether and looked at the charter.
Yeah, okay. Well, what I mean is not, I wouldn't like to forward it asking the question, the council for approval on that or any opinion on that rather than to report, it's going into a report. So that means, for example, what I intend to do, if we come to a new chair and so I would like to hand over and just it's with a final report on what we have done, so, and I would put it into that report. Is that okay?
Sure, I don't have any problem with that.
Good, I see that from... Okay. Thank you very much. Now, Marika, finally, so we found a quarter of an hour for a working group survey. Do you have that, the on the screen here? Yes.
Yeah, what's up on the screen is the latest version, because I think following the last call, Julie made a couple of changes, I think, based on your discussion. So that's what's up on the screen.
Yes. So that was, we discussed the scaling, so from 1 to 7, it was 1 to 9, and now I see they have a scale of 1 to 4, that might be easier to handle, and I think that was in the one which was commented and was amended. And, okay, if there are other ideas, please raise your hand. I see Anne, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't take down my agree from previous.
Ah, yes, that is your agreeing, okay.
I apologize.
Yes, no problem. So, if I recall that correctly, we also discussed how now we deal with that survey. So, and to find, let me say, a kind of first group which we would like to ask to go through at a kind of test or so. Is that the way to do, or shall we use this immediately to approach different working groups which have been working or which have already finished since the implementation of the new working group model? There was one group you would like to ask, which was chaired by Mikey O'Connor, wasn't it, Marika?
This is Marika. No, I think I suggested the IRTP Part C working group that was chaired by James.
Yes.
James Bledel.
Yes, and I think also James was very open to that. Juan, please. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I was unfortunately not able to attend the Toronto meeting, so I didn't get a chance to find out whether or not, or to hear enough information on this topic. And the question I have is, why would we just, if we're going to test it, why would we just test it with one working group? Why wouldn't we do two or three, and just to get a sense? I mean, if we're going to do a test, it's not really, one working group won't give us that much information, but if we did a handful of them, that would. I do agree with the idea of a test before we start putting it into application going forward. But I would suggest that we might want to have a broader base for the test. And if there was discussion on that, I apologize for not having been privy to it. But that's just kind of my comment. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Ron. Well, I'm Yeah, we are open to that, I would say. But, you know, the first thing was we put it here on our list, well, to ask people, members, well, for their ideas with regards to the content, to the completeness, well, anything which you might have in mind with regards to that survey. So that is the outcome right now, so far. So the further question is maybe a working group which has already worked on that, when they have some experience, they may have, in addition, some points, well, to raise, which are not... Oh, but this is the number 13, I see. Are there any other comments or suggestions you would like to share with the SCI? And so that is the last question. Is that understandable in that sense? The meaning, okay, it could be a comment regarding their work and the working group guidelines, as also a comment with regards to the survey itself. Maybe we can point that out. And then it comes to the question, okay, which of the working groups we are going to use or to send out that one, please.
Thank you, Chair. I think the number 13 question does need to be tightened up. We need to be more specific. If we're not clear with the question, we can have such a broad range of answers that really doesn't serve our efforts or our purpose. So if we were to suggest that, do you have any comments or suggestions regarding the working group process or something like that, but really be very specific about what we're looking for in terms of those comments and suggestions. And then the second point I wanted to bring up was perhaps we could ask staff, you know, in order to be kind of egalitarian about this, rather than picking and choosing which completed working groups we would select, perhaps we could just pick up the last, I don't know, call it five or three, but five would be probably more data for us to be able to get better information. The last five working groups that have been in process, we would just go ahead and just take those and ask those people if they wouldn't mind giving us the survey, because I think that would then enable us to have a broad range of thoughts coming in. We can then analyze the data that comes out of this this thing, and if, in fact, if we have to modify this survey going forward, and then we would be able to implement that with every working group going forward, ask this question, these questions, and provide this, push this survey to them so they can give us back the data. I think that would be very helpful. So those are the two points I'd like to add to that. Thank you.
Okay, Juan. I got also the feeling so that number 13 should be a little bit more specific right now when I'm reading that. So asking for comments with respect to the survey itself and with respect to the working group guidelines. So that is, if there is something they would like to share with us, so that I think these are the two points I would say should be specified under 13. And then your suggestion, to take at least five working groups. I wonder whether we do have so many which already finished their work, because that was the idea. I think if at first we should ask working groups which have already finished their work under the new rules. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. And I think, you know, on the comment on how many working groups are or which ones, I think that the challenging part there is a little bit that if you look, you know, we use the working group guidelines very formal when we conduct, formal working groups like EDPs. So basically there as well, at the start of them, we, you know, tell them about all the requirements, we tell them to read it, to make use of it. A lot of elements as well come back there in, you know, how the decisions are being made. But I think, you know, we use the working group guidelines or as a reference document as well in some of the other efforts we have, which are not necessarily PDP working groups. So I'm worried that if we, you know, just do it the last five working groups, you might get responses back from, those groups that weren't formal working groups that will say, oh, but you know, what are the working group guidelines? And we never really used them. Because in a lot of these efforts, it's more that they need to come up with a specific response to a certain question or review certain materials. Or it's not a formal working group as we understand under the PDP, for example. So I don't know for that purpose if it makes more sense to focus on PDP working groups, and there might be a lesser sample, at least completed ones. I think there the IRTP one is the one that has completed. I think the UDRP domain name lock working group started as well under the new working group guidelines. But I think some of the ones that predate that actually were already working when the new guidelines were adopted. So maybe those two otherwise might be an appropriate way just to know that one of them actually is still working, so they haven't concluded their work yet.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a list of all these? There must be a list, I'm sure, of all the working groups, let me say, since the implementation of the guidelines?
The project list is a guide, and otherwise on if you look on the GNSO website, there we have all the projects. It will take a little bit of time to matching the dates and seeing which ones actually started after the GNSO working group guidance were adopted. But as I said, I think from the PDP perspective, I think it's only the locking of a domain name working group and the IRTP Part C one that formally commenced when we had the new working group guidelines in place.
I understood you that you were in favor of more or less PDP-related working groups, isn't it? Did I understand that correctly?
This is Rick again, because I said I think there we have this, when we start those processes off, we normally really start with the first session only focused on, what are your the obligations, where can you find information, what is outlined in the working group guidelines. And I think with some of the other initiatives that are not formal PDPs, that happens less, because usually there's they're less rigid. It's normally drafting team, discussion group. So I can check, because I know there are some other groups where we did have charters that refer to the working group guidelines, but I don't know if they also did this kind of introductory part. But I can check that with some of my colleagues if there are other groups that might be suitable to do a trial with.
Okay. Would it be possible, Marika, for you to put, I understand we have this project list as well, yes, and this one, maybe we take this one or just see an excerpt of this list regarding to those working groups which fall under what you have said right now, and put it to the list, and then let's talk about which one should be picked up, maybe all of them, that we can all see what in front of us what we have, and we discuss it on the list, pick some out, and then I understand that we are in agreement that this the survey after a small revision with regard to the last question shall be sent out.
Yeah, doesn't work. We can do that. No problem. Do you already want us to go ahead as well and put the survey into a kind of a Zoomerang or Survey Monkey tool so people can as well see how it will look when people actually need to fill it in?
Yes. One is in agreement of that. Is there any other opinion on that? I think I felt from the last discussion we had already that was how we would go forward with that. Yes. Okay. Marika, could you provide for that? And then that we can take the next step then?
Yes, I'll work with Julie on that.
Okay, thank you very much. Great. We have AOB. I have a hard stop at in 5 minutes here. So and everybody would be happy if you can finish that time. Is there anything with regards to AOB? Any other business? What else we have? We started discussion. At the beginning, with regards to the meeting schedule and meeting time. There was an idea to send out a poll for the next meeting, whether it's feasible, which time is feasible to us. We used to have it in 1 hour, 1 hour later, and due to the change of summertime, so I got wrong, so I put it again here. So the question, we would like to send out a doodle poll, with at least one option. That means the former time we had. And I would like to ask, are there any other options, any other requirements from your side which you should put to the doodle as well? Marika, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note that in 2 weeks' time, if that will be, again, you know, the schedule where we're heading for that, it actually will be difficult, at least at this time, to provide staff support because we're all away in for a staff retreat. So I think we're able to provide you with the bridge and set up the conference, et cetera, but I don't think staff will be able to be on the call itself.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. But anyway, the doodle cap could be sent out, yeah? And Ron, please. Ron, you're on mute.
Sorry, exactly, on mute. I think that, I'm really happy to hear that you're discussing the getting the doodle up again, because I think that's important. Everyone has busy schedules, and it's really critical that we get as many people on these calls as possible. And if staff support's not possible in 2 weeks, then we need to move our meeting our call to accommodate that, because I think staff support is very, very important to our calls. And this is a good thing, the doodle, and making sure that we have staff on board for that. Thank you.
Do we have different different days, you know, to ask for, or shall we stay with the Thursday?
No, this is Anne. Thursday is a good day for me, actually.
Yes.
Better day, yeah.
Ron?
Yes, I'm happy with Thursdays as well. It happens this time and this day work well for me, but
okay.
The doodle is going to help make sure
good.
It works for everybody else. Thank you.
And Mary?
I'm just blanking. How far into the future are we looking at this for?
Well, up to the next chair election.
I thought you might say that. the reason I raise it is if it goes beyond, you know, January or something, I won't be able to do Thursday at this time because of my class schedules for my spring semester.
Mm-hmm.
And but
mm-hmm.
I can put that on the doodle. I was just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's ask for the near future here. Huh? Okay, Marika.
Yes, it is, Marika. So shall we then set up the doodle poll for the first week of December? And we then select some times on the Thursday?
Yes.
Okay, great, thanks.
Yeah, okay, there's support. Okay, guys, thank you very much. It was, at the end, a very, very fruitful meeting. Thank you very much, and have a nice time.
Thank you, Chair.
And
thank
operator,
you
please.
Much.